God wants us to be accurate about every aspect of life. That's why He's given us the Scriptures, so that we can be accurate, because truth requires precision. In fact, listen to what the Scripture says about itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and listen to this now, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in that which is right. Of all the areas that we need accurate instruction about, it's certainly about marriage today. There are several reasons why it's important for everybody to learn everything they possibly can about marriage. First of all, for the personal benefit of a husband and wife. Secondly, so that you can hand on the same teaching to others. Thirdly, every person who's not married but is but can get ready for marriage, if they understand what the issues are, they can make wise decisions. The third reason is because God gives us an allegory in Scripture. It is a comparison between marriage, between a husband and a wife, and between the relationship of Christ and the believer. So understanding marriage helps us to understand our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have already been learning that God gives 7 specific instructions for wives and 7 specific instructions for husbands. And the reason for this is very simple. He wants us to be accurate, and so the man must be accurized, as should the wife be accurized, so that the marriage is accurized. Here's a little diagram that shows the 7. And if we follow these 7, the whole marriage will be accurately and put together according to biblical instruction. We have already learned that the first thing that God teaches a wife is to learn how to suffer. And in fact, the counterbalancing truth, and in all the other 7, it's not the same, the other 6 rather, but on this first one, the man is also to learn to suffer. Marriage requires suffering. Love requires suffering. For the Bible says, the first thing in Corinthians chapter 13, that love suffers long periods of time and is kind back to the one who's the cause of the suffering. And without this fundamental understanding of love and suffering, a marriage will not survive. So we've already learned that together. And then we learned that the second instruction for wives is that they need to learn to follow their husbands. And the instruction we want to learn today, the counterbalancing truth, is if the wife is to follow her husband, then the husband is to lead his wife. So here we go. Get your notes ready and your pencil ready to go, and let's learn. First of all, let's look at the Scriptures that teach that the wife is to follow, but more importantly today, that the husband is to lead. Look at the Scripture. Wives, follow the leadership of your own husbands as if you were following the Lord. Look at it again. It uses the word submit, but it means the same thing. To submit to your husband means to follow his leadership. Wives, follow the leadership of your own husbands as if you were following the Lord. Now look at this. For the husband is the leader of the wife. He is the head of the wife. Look at this. Even as Christ is the leader or the head of the church, and he's also the Savior of the body. Now, if a wife is to follow, then it's the husband who is the lead. And if Christ is the leader for us, then we are to follow. Let's look at another scripture that says the same thing. Therefore, here it is. As the church is under the leadership of Christ, or subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Let the wives also be under the leadership of their husbands. Now watch this, and a very important phrase, the in everything. Now watch this, because the question is, in what areas should the husband accept the responsibility of leadership? And the answer is not complicated. If the wife is to follow her husband, look at this, back here, in everything, then the husband is to give leadership in every area. To lead simply means, and you need to catch this, to go first, to go ahead. This is not about domination. This is about leadership. Unfortunately, men have used these verses to try and dominate. Leadership has nothing to do with domination. Leadership is simply going first, showing the way as the leader out front, going ahead spiritually, be the first in leading domestically and financially and socially, and setting the life purpose for the family, life goals for each member of the family, to be ahead, to be leader in the scriptures. Now, immediately following this leadership obligation of the husband to teach, which teach that he is to lead the way, these scriptures point out some of those areas in which he is to lead. Here we go. Look at this. The next verse says he's to lead in love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. He's also to lead in giving. He loved the church and gave himself for it. The leader means, if you want them to learn to give, you start, you lead, you demonstrate it ahead of everybody else. Giving. And then a husband is to lead in sanctifying. That he, the scripture says, that he might sanctify. Look at this, number four. He's to lead in cleansing with the words that he uses to cleanse his wife. The scripture says, by the washing, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Look at this. He's to lead in holiness. That it should be, listen to this, holy. Without blemish. The scripture says he should lead in nourishing. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it. Look at this. He's to lead in cherishing. And God expects every man, every husband, to be a leader. Now, if we as men and husbands are going to learn to lead, then we're going to have to learn what I call the Logos laws of leadership. You see, there's a lot of secular ideas today about leadership, but the Bible has specific principles of leadership, and this is referred to as the Logos, the written word of God. And so, we're going to turn and see if we can't spend a few moments as men and husbands learning the principles of leadership. Because if a wife is to follow, then a husband is to lead. And these dear wives of ours desperately need men who know where they're going, who just don't move through life loafing and ship-shod one direction or the other, or let the weather blow them one way or the other, but who have set a course, charted a direction, know where they're going. In fact, somebody said the whole world will step aside to let a man pass who knows where he's going. So what are these laws of leadership that every husband needs to implement in order to be a responsible husband, following one of the seven instructions, which is to be a leader? Here are some of those laws of leadership. Number one, first law of leadership is first be a follower, then a leader. You have to be a good follower. Look at this scripture. Jesus said it this way, if any man serve me, look at this, let him follow me. And look at this, and where I am, there shall also my servant be, and if any man serve me, look at this, him will my Father honor. It starts, leadership begins by first learning to be a good follower. The reason is that no one is an absolute leader who just gets to go any which way he wants to, because there's nothing new under the sun. And God expects every man to become a leader, and to make it easy for a man to become a leader, God gave every man someone to follow. The ideal man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus says to every man, come follow me. You see, when we are following Christ, those who follow us will be able to do so with great confidence because they know who we're following. They know that he's right, so we'll be right. His credibility becomes our credibility, you see. His direction becomes our direction. His values become our values. His life becomes our life. His power becomes our power. His Holy Spirit becomes our Holy Spirit. To be a good leader, one must first be a good follower. You see, the problems that you encounter as a follower will help you to understand the problems of those who are following you. The solutions we receive as followers help us to give solutions to those who follow us. The disciplines we have to learn as followers, we get to build in those who are following us. The example you set as a follower will be the example your followers will follow. Principle number one, first law of leadership. Be a good follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the key to knowing where you are going. Because he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So follow closely. Leadership number two. Leadership principle number two. It is the principle of example. What does that mean? It means be what we want others to be. Look at the scripture with me. Second law of leadership from the scriptures. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at this. Deceiving your own selves. You see, if you and I are deceived, our wife and children will be deceived because, you know why? Because they're following us. It's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that gets into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Leadership is not telling others which way to go or how to go. Leadership is going there first. How do we know this? Well, it's because the Bible says this. Look at this. He says, neither as lords. I don't want you to be the bosses over God's heritage. But what I want you to do is be an example to the flock. I want you to lead by example. It is the second most powerful principle. What we want others to be, we must be ourselves. Because followers become like those who they are following. That is why anyone who professes to follow Christ but is not Christ-like is really deceived. This is hypocrisy, see? It's those who say and do not. And if we try to tell our wives which way to go and our children which way to go, but we don't do it ourselves, our influence as leaders will be diminished. We become what the scripture calls blind leaders of the blind. And you know what Jesus said about that. Look at this. They be blind leaders of the blind. Look at this. If the blind lead the blind, both of them shall fall into a ditch. A little poem I learned. Cannot teach what you do not know. And you cannot lead where you do not go. Whatever we want our wife and children to be, we must be. Because if we lie, they will lie. Even if you don't get caught, if you and I don't get caught in our lies, they will still be lying because something spiritual gets transmitted almost invisibly. It's a law of leadership. Whoever you're following, you become like them. If we are tardy, they'll be tardy. If we are careless, they'll be careless. If we're indifferent, they will be indifferent. If we are argumentative, they will be argumentative. If we are prideful, they will be filled with pride. See, we men have got the wrong idea that we always have to be right. And we defend ourselves even when we're wrong. And that's why our children defend themselves even when they're wrong. That's why our wives defend themselves even when they're wrong. They learned it from our example, the principle of example. But it works on the positive side, because if you are prudent, your wife and children will be prudent. If you and I are frugal, they will be frugal. If we are considerate, they will be considerate. If we are joyful, they will be filled with joy. Because our wives and our children learn by what they live with. The third principle of leadership is what we call the servant principle. Here is verbalized in the scriptures. Whosoever will be the chief among you, look at this, let him be the servant. Whoever wants to be the leader, let him serve. Husbands who use leadership verses to endorse domination are sadly mistaken. Leadership is about serving. Do you know what that word husband means? It means, husband means keeper of the garden. And that's a servant job. You see, the scriptures liken our wife and children unto a garden. And if you take the gardener away, the garden will soon be destroyed. And it's happening in mass today. And I want to say, wives, make sure you let your husband do the work of husbandry. Be teachable, trainable, prunable, if you please. Let him water you to health and into well-being. That's his job as a leader, to serve you well. Husbands, look at these scriptures, because this is what leadership is about. It's about serving. Look at the scripture. The kings of the Gentiles, the presidents, the executives, the corporate leaders, they exercise lordship, like bosses over them. Look at this. They exercise authority down upon them. They're called benefactors. But look at this next verse. But it shall not be so among you. He that is greatest, fathers, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. Look at this now. For who is greater, he that sitteth at the meat or he that serveth? Isn't it he that sits down? But Jesus said, I'm giving you the example. I am among you as he that serveth. Leadership is about serving, the third law of leadership. The fourth law of leadership is what we call the law of sowing and reaping, sometimes referred to as the law of reciprocity. Here it is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Here's the law. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever we sow, we reap. Look at the further explanation of Scripture. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now watch this, because the next verse is so critical. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because you see, watch this now. This law of sowing and reaping isn't you sow bad stuff, you get bad stuff. But it's also, if you sow good stuff, you get good stuff. So don't be weary in keeping on doing good for your wife, keeping on doing good for your children. Look at this. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's just keep on serving. It's a law of leadership. Look at the next verse. For as we therefore have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. The law of sowing and reaping. It's a law of leadership, and we men need to, if there's something missing in your wife, sow it into her. Do to her what you want her to be doing. Same with your children. Because if we lead by our example, and if we understand this law of sowing and reaping, don't stand back, point your finger, and criticize them, because they really are only following our example anyhow. The fifth law of leadership is the fact that leadership is a relationship, not a position. Too many times we have thought that being a leader was a position. And if it is a position, it's a position of serving. But watch this. Relationship, not a position. Here's where Jesus was calling disciples. And look what it says. He chose 12. He ordained 12. Watch this now. That they should be with him. And then later on, that he might send them. This is a most important principle of leadership. It has to do with spending time in relationship with those who we're trying to lead. Somebody put it this way in the old days, some things are rather caught than taught. And so, you see, relationship means spending meaningful time. In fact, it means not just spending meaningful time, but opportunity to observe them, to observe you, you to observe them. It means communicating. It means dialoguing, not monologuing. The principle of relationship is how leadership really takes place. The sixth principle is what we call the no secrets principle. Here's what Jesus said. For everything I heard of my Father, I made it known unto you. No secrets. Paul used the same principle. Look at this. I kept nothing back from you that was profitable to you, but I showed you. Look at this. This is great. I showed you and I taught you. He showed it an example and then he spoke it. He show and tell. The original right here. Everything. Total transparency. A wife should not have to guess where a husband's been or who he's been with. There should be no secrets, no guessing, no secret agenda. Why? So that those who follow us can become everything we are because we show them everything. We teach them everything, not selectively. The next principle is the principle of accountability, a law of leadership. Look at the scripture. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Now watch this. And they told him all things. Then they defined what the all things were. Look at this. They told him what they had done and what they had said. Everything they had said and done. Now, a wife and children should give account to the husband and the father of everything they have done and everything they have said. However, we have already learned the principle of example. Now, watch how it works. Because if a husband is not accountable to anyone, how shall anyone who is following him learn to be accountable? Notice this verse again. Watch this now. Look who initiated accountability. Look at that. The apostles gathered themselves together. Jesus didn't gather them together for this. They gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Biblical accountability is self-initiated. It's not forced down on somebody by leadership. Every husband needs to be accountable, not just to the laws of the land, that's true, but to godly pastors, godly elders, godly men. You see, a wife will naturally want to give an account. Usually as soon as the husband walks through the door, she wants to give an account of everything she has done and everything she's said. And husbands better take time to listen and respond. And we husbands better gather ourselves together with other godly men to hold ourselves accountable to someone else, because that is how they, our family, and our wives will learn to accept accountability to us, because they see it in us being accountable to others. And then the next principle is what I call the no crutch principle. Look at this. Jesus sent the disciples out 12 twice. Watch this. The first time he sent them without purse and scrip. Look at this. When I sent you without money and without a bag to carry it in, did you lack anything? Did you lack anything? And they said nothing. But then he sent them out a second time. Look at this. Then he said unto them, but now if you've got some money, take it. Now take your carry bags. And likewise, whatever it is you need, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Now what's this principle? He taught them to do it without crutches, because once they had the things in their hand, they weren't crutches anymore. They were instruments and weapons. We need to teach our family not to rely on things, but to be fully fulfilled and functional without things, without stuff. Then if we happen to get things, they can use them. If they have to have things, they will always be dependent on a crutch. It's a law of leadership. And the last one is what we call the closet principle. This is the most important principle of a husband and his leadership. Look at this. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. This is the big secret. This is where a man gets the blessing of God. On his life. On his wife. On his family. This is where a man gets in touch with God. This is where a leader gets direction. Because if the leader is led by God, so will the marriage be led by God. And if the marriage is led by God, so will the family be led by God. You see, the man who prays will have a wife who prays. And haven't we already learned that ancient adage, the family that prays together will stay together? Men, let's get on with our instructions from God. Let's learn to lead. And for sure, let's get orders from headquarters by praying. That's how we know where to go. And that will help them follow us.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life. And you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, there are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why. And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.